Experts say that being yourself and risking people not liking you is better than experiencing the stress and tension that results from bending over backwards to please others. This is Cherie, your host for Life of a People Pleaser podcast. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into my podcast, Life of a People Pleaser. Today's episode, I'm going to be talking about something that happened to me personally. And if you are a victim of rape or assault, this may be a trigger episode for you. So I first wanted to warn you that this is what this entire podcast episode is about. I understand if you don't want to listen or skip on to the next show. The reason it's very important for me to share what happened to me in my life is because I know every single day the statistics are that every single day someone is being violated. And I definitely thought it was something that was never going to happen to me, and not by somebody that I knew. And so I just want to share my story in hopes that I can reach anybody who has gone through this, who can relate to it, and maybe give some insight into those who did not know that I went through this, and they can get a little bit more insight into my life. I first did want to say that there is help available for any victims. The National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673 and is available 24 hours a day. I will give this phone number out again at the end of my episode. So for me, I was 42 years old. I had dated this person several times over a 12-year period. I mean several times, meaning we would date, break up. We always found our way back to each other. We did care about each other and love each other, which is why we tried again and tried again. There was incidents of cheating and unfaithfulness and lying that had us break up before, but with maturity and growth and how people change and are willing to change, I was always willing to give them another chance. In this particular time, things were great. It was our, say, fourth time trying to date. Our kids knew each other. We engulfed each other's families and lives. I just adored this man. Like, I adored this man. And I would do anything to help him be successful, to help with his life, encourage his dreams and aspirations, and anything I could do to be there for him. And things seemed to be going really, really good, actually, for a while. We were coming up to his birthday and a birthday celebration with his kids and my kids and a big celebration where we actually involved every family member, which was hard to collectively get all the children together. And I was super excited. He was excited. But coming up to that point, there was some, I would say, maybe insecurities on his side. He was seeing me post some stuff on social media about not really being 100% happy and unsure in the relationship with, when truthfully what was happening is, just like anybody else on social media, you see a meme, you see a GIF, you can relate to it. Doesn't mean that you're going through that right now, but you can relate to that at some point in your life and you share it. And I think what was happening was, if I recall, his kids were seeing some of my posts and wondering if it was related to their father, when in fact it was just something that I could relate to as a whole period. So, he started to get a little insecure about our relationship and was I happy anymore. But we went ahead and had like this birthday celebration. It turned out to be a really great thing, really fun. All the kids came. I do remember during my time that I dated him that it always seemed to be a great thing for his kids, because I always wanted to do things with all of our kids together. Like, I was always encouraging that. Let's go pick up so-and-so. Let's do this with so-and-so. And so it seemed to be great when we dated, because, you know, there's no leaving my child behind. So we were always making sure we were doing family things. And he was a family person. So I just kind of encouraged the involvement in his kids' life. So we did have the birthday dinner. Everything was great. Shortly after that, I had some issues with my car. My car broke down. The engine blew up. So I was without a vehicle, which was really rare for me, like first time in my life. And so it started to mount some frustrations financially about like how we were going to take care of things. And as a couple, you kind of lean on each other. Like, I was trying to lean on him to like help me figure this problem out, because I was, you know, giving rides back and forth. And so I was like, how are we going to do this together? And so financially wise, things started to get a little bit stressful. So I remember we were arguing one day. I can't even remember what the argument was about. And he was going to take the bus here to my house, and he had a key. And so he took the bus, and on the ride here, I was basically calling to see where he was at, because I thought he would have been here by now. So I was calling to check up on him, and like, I'm like, well, what's your status? Where are you at? And it just started this whole argument about, like, basically, why are you calling me? I'm on my way there. And I said, you know what? If you're going to have that temperament and attitude, there's no reason to come over. But he was already on his way here. He had a key. So he came over. I know we argued a little bit. And we went to bed for the night. And I remember, like, he was just so anxious. And at, I would say it was like 4:30 in the morning. He was up, like, out of bed, pacing back and forth, and just pretty much saying, all of you are a bunch of bees. You're all a bunch of bees. And I remember at this time he was also having confrontation with one of his kids' moms. And so he was venting frustration about that, but incorporating me in that conversation. Now, this person and I don't have a shared child together at all. But so he was venting about an issue with a baby's mom, and then it became, I'm also a bee. You know, I'm also a bee. So he was pacing back and forth, very upset. And then I just, first of all, I was tired. Okay. Secondly, I didn't want to sit here and argue with my son in the next room, and who was asleep, who probably heard us arguing. I think my son was 10 at that time. And so it escalated bad. I remember, these are the things that I recall as they happened. I remember he went into the kitchen and warmed up a cup of coffee in the microwave. I remember that he came back in the room and threw the coffee, hot coffee, at me while I was sitting up on my bed against the wall, and the coffee went all over me, hot coffee and the wall. I remember at that point being scared. I was like, oh, he's worked up, something's about to happen. Like, my body was getting in defense mode, right? And so I remember reaching for my phone, and he reached for my phone and threw my phone so I couldn't call anybody. I don't know if I was calling the police at that time or a friend. I don't know what I was doing. I was just preparing myself to reach out to somebody for help. And he threw my phone. And the next thing I know is he's literally yanking me by my hair down and starts hitting me and hitting me. And hitting me. Then he's screaming at me, yelling, we're fighting, I'm crying, I'm scratched up, I have scratches on my chest, I have, you know, my head's hurting from getting hit, I'm burning from the coffee, and he just won't stop. You know, he's still screaming at me. And then I remember him coming around the side of the bed that I was sitting on and literally rip my pants off of me. And I have pictures of the pants have a hole ripped from the thigh down. So he literally ripped my pants off of me, took one hand and choked my neck, which oddly enough, in a regular sex act is something that turns me on. But here, this was not something that was at all looked at in that regard. I was begging him, stop. You don't have to do this right now. You don't have to do this. Like, I am your girlfriend. I will give you sex freely, but what you're about to do, you will never come back from. And I remember him thrusting himself in me and trying so hard to get off on the aggression and anger of having just fought and hitting me. And he was trying to have some sort of release. And I would just lay there crying, begging him to stop. And I remember him just going limp because I didn't participate. I didn't participate at all. So he goes limp, he pulls out, he goes to take a shower, and I remember taking my house key off of his ring because I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm done with you. Like, you cannot do this to me and then expect to say I'm sorry and never be back in my life. So I remember him seeing that the house key was no longer on the ring. So he gets out of the shower, and he was like, still screaming at me, we're fighting, I'm telling him he has to leave. He's like, where am I gonna go? I'm stranded here, I don't know nobody. You know, I know that he had like a friend stay in the same town as me, so he could have called that person, but he was basically, his excuse or upsetness had to do with the fact that he had no way to get where he was going. So he's calling people on their phone saying, this fucking bitch is trying to kick me out, blah blah, all any kind of spin on the story. And I'm sitting here crying with scratches and marks and just been raped, and he's just trying to figure out how or where he's going to do and what he's going to do. Anyways, he ends up putting his backpack on and leaving my house. He leaves. I lock the door. Now, the thing is on Saturdays, on the weekends, I used to have coffee with a neighbor. We would go to Starbucks and get coffee and catch up and blah, blah, blah. So I remember that it was not too soon till the time that we normally did that. And I called her. I was like, hey, can you come down here, please? I was just raped. And she came right over and either her together and I, or I took pictures of my body and my pants ripped and, you know, just explain what just happened. So mind you, in this time yet, I have not called the police. I haven't filed a police report. I haven't. My mind is just like, what the hell just happened to me? Like, this is a man I've loved for 12 years. I had a tattoo of him on my body. I've loved his children. I loved his mother, his family as a whole. And I'm just like, what just happened to me? Like, you did not have to do that. Like, I've had my ass whooped in life, right? Not that that's right or wrong, but I've had my ass whooped in life by a man before. But rape of a female that you were in a relationship with, and I don't even think that you were taking out any of the issues that you had going on with your baby's mom or any other things had anything to do with me. But it was just compiled issues, you know, financial and, you know, getting shit from other people. And then feeling like I am on social media talking about a relationship issues when I wasn't. So maybe compiled issues had him act that way. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just trying to justify some of his behavior. So, you know, my neighbor comes over and we talk and I'm crying and I'm upset. My arm's got a scratch and a burn on it. I'm just like over here sitting here as a victim, right? And I'm assuming he's around town trying to figure out how to get home. And I'm just sitting here like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to call the police because he has all these daughters and I don't want the daughters to look at him in court and be like, my dad's a rapist. I didn't want his kids to endure the court process and their dad to be prosecuted, which would have happened with the pictures and later conversation confirming what took place. I just didn't want that for his children. Like, so at the moment I was just like, you know, I didn't call police or press charges because I didn't want, this is, who is this person? Like, he never did this to me before in 12 years. So it's not like he's a habitual rapist. So I was just, you know, I guess the rationale in my mind at that time. And if you've ever gone through something so traumatic, you realize that you start to rationalize things differently. But I was trying to give him and his children the benefit of the doubt. So anyways, the day goes on. I see on social media that he showed up to one of his kids' house for a birthday. And I'm just like, look at his smile in that picture. He just looks like he just did not assault me. I send him a message telling him I'm over here devastated and, you know, heartbroken at what took place. And he basically says, you know, yeah, I'm sorry it happened. I wish it never happened, which, first of all, does not deny it took place. But I do remember in screaming and yelling at me that he had said something about me being a cheater, which at this time I was not doing that. Like, I was, anytime I was in a exclusive relationship, I did not cheat. If I was not dating anybody, of course I dated. But him, if he was exclusive, it also meant he was exclusive with many other people at the same time. So there was different standings of being exclusive, and I was not a cheater. So I also was thinking about, like, I got to tell my brother. My brother's going to have my back. Like, he's going to make sure he beats this guy's ass. Like, yeah, I'm not pressing charges, but karma's got to come at some point because this is bullshit. Like, what you just did to me has devastated my life. Now, this was on a Saturday. On Monday, I dressed and showed up to work like nothing happened to me. Covered up my arms, my bruises, because I didn't press charges. And I just was going to be like, okay, I'm going to cope with this and deal with this and never speak to this person again. What really happened on Monday is I worked in a small team of people, three people, and a coworker walked in. And all she literally said to me was, good morning. And I broke. My entire mental health, it just went. It was gone. I broke down. I told her I needed to talk to her in a private room. I told her I was just raped over the weekend, that I don't know what to do. And of course, she felt sorry for me and felt bad. And I think then I realized that it was going to be a long road for me to recover from that kind of hurt. Again, the biggest issue with me was not that he assaulted me as a whole, which is so disgusting to think. The whole thing should have been a big problem with me. But at this time, the biggest issue with me is that you held me down and forced yourself on me when you did not have to, and you took something when I begged you not to. And my and mind you, my son was in the other room. So anyway, so I go to work and I'm crying and I'm upset and I can't focus. I'm not doing my job well. It progresses into about 2 months of me screwing up shit at work, not doing spreadsheets right, not focused. Anytime a male would talk to me, I was like, my body had anxiety in it. And so I went to my doctor. I told my doctor, look, I was assaulted and raped. I didn't press charges. Here's why I didn't press charges, but I'm falling apart mentally. I'm mentally falling apart. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to look at anybody. I don't want a man to look at me. I don't want to date anybody. I don't want anybody to ever touch me again. I need some help. I need to go to counseling. You know, so I ended up taking a leave of absence from work. I took my entire leave of absence was about 8 or 9 months, to be honest. But everybody's time frame for which they recover from things is different. And not to say that I'm fully recovered from it, because I am not. But I took time off work and I took medications that were given to me, anxiety and depression meds. And about 5 months in, I decided to start counseling. And I remember talking to my son about that day. I finally had to sit down with my 10-year-old and I was like, look, this is why so-and-so is not around anymore. You know, on this day, blah, 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 something happened to mommy. And he was like, mom, he was like, I heard you from the other room. You were saying, stop. Just stop, please stop. And he said, I actually had to put my headphones on so I didn't hear it because I was scared and didn't know what to do. So it broke my heart even more to think that my son heard his mom being victimized and was terrified himself. And then I played it off for, 5-6 months? Like, I was the only person going through this, and I wasn't. I did eventually later tell my brother, my brother tried to reach out to this person on social media for justification and say, pretty much, I'm sending people to whoop your ass. And this motherfucker basically told my brother in so many words that I did what I did because your sister cheated on me. Now, that doesn't sound rational at all. And my brother said, my sister is not a cheater, and it doesn't justify what you did, and it does not at all. So what I realized what was happening is that this person who assaulted me is going around people we both know, justifying the breakup and accusations of rape by saying I cheated on him. And I thought, what the hell, dude? Like, seriously? I mean, we did live in separate towns, but we did know many people from the same circle. And so it was like, wow, instead of them looking at you like you piece of shit, they're over here looking at me, well, yeah, you know, she cheated, so, and they got into an altercation and ended that way. No, ladies, and no gentlemen. Never at any time is it okay to, one, assault somebody, and number two, rape somebody. There is zero justification for that at all. So about 5 or 6 months in, I'm sitting here dealing with how he's out here putting it out in the universe that I'm the piece of shit, and yet there's no karma for him, right? There's no... He's not had any repercussions for anything that he's done to me because I didn't press any charges to spare his children from seeing him in court. So I was in counseling and I was talking to the counselor and she was like, you know, statute of limitations is not up. It's still okay for you to go ahead and press charges. I said, at this point, it's vindictive. It's vindictive for me, you know, 7-8 months later now to say, here's the evidence, press charges on this person. When I should have done it right then. And that's my biggest thing I regret to this day is the minute he left, I should have notified the police. They should have done a rape kit. I should have had photographs taken, you know, and that's that. There should have been charges pressed, a court date, and whatever comes with that, and not over here thinking about how it concerns his life, his kids, or anything else, because he had no concern for mine and my child in the next room. But as I went through counseling and trauma counseling, I had to go through trauma counseling. I learned a lot of things about helping with anxiety and tapping and, you know, how to get comfortable around men again. I remember interviewing for a job to go back to work because I had lost my position and I was trying to get into a different position, same company. And I got extremely anxious about a male interviewing me. Like, I was sick to my stomach. Not that this man had any intention or anything other than to be a professional and interview me, but I just didn't realize how much it jeopardized my life in that I was terrified of a man looking at me, talking to me, or even possibly violating me later. So it made me captive of my own self, and it was awful. So counseling, trauma counseling, medication, not embarrassed at all to say that I was on anxiety and depression medication. I know that I had my friend circle that I could talk to on repeat about it, and they never made me feel like I couldn't talk about it. They themselves maybe had gone through something or could relate or understand that sometimes talking about it helps you get through it. So I would say now, 2 years out, I'm definitely, back to dating, not as skittish or afraid of men, not afraid of being touched. I'm not as angry or resentful to this person that did this to me, which is surprising to me in such a short time, because I remember thinking I'm going to find this person. And someone once asked me, if he ever crossed my path again, what would that look like? And all I could think about was how to hurt him, like in a bad way. Like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to hurt him bad because what he did to me, and he's never paid for that, and he's out here justifying it. He's moving on with relationships. He's mended his relationship with the baby's mom, whose issue he had issue with that he took out on me that night. So it's like, how are you moving on with your life and I'm over here held prisoner in mine because of what you did to me? So I was so vengeful. And then I don't know at what point I got to a place of forgiving. I never want to see this person again. Don't get this wrong. I never want to see this person again in life, face to face at all. But I know karma comes. And karma will come. And whatever that looks like for that person, man, I hope karma comes good. I say that to say, yes, I'm no longer still vengeful. And yes, I have forgiven, but you don't forget. And I just know that at some point, everybody has to pay for the things that they have done. And that's how that is. My one biggest regret ever was trying to make it okay for people in his life when it wasn't made okay for mine. My biggest regret was not pressing charges. My biggest regret was not holding this person accountable to do this to someone else when he has an outrage moment. And also that he just gets to go out here and look like I'm the piece of shit. And that to me took a long time to get over was, damn, the perception of me that you're putting out there is ridiculous. You know, so my son as well does counseling for school. And it took him some time to work through too. Like, he always just says, Mom, I want you to be happy. I love you. I want you to have somebody who loves you, you know. And for a boy at his age to say that and acknowledge it, he's such a sweetheart, good-natured child who just wants to see Mommy happy in the right situation, you know. And for him to have to work through what that must have been like for him to listen to happening to his mother, you know, poor kid forever having to go through that. But find yourself a support system. Make somebody accountable for their actions. If you need to be on medication, do that. Press charges. And again, the National Sexual Assault Hotline is open 24 hours a day. Call them. I remember calling Rain too for resources afterwards, maybe about 6 or 7 weeks afterwards, for resources as well. So call the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Their number again is 1-800-656-4673. And please, I'm on social media. I do realize that just recently there was this thing on TikTok about April 24th being National Rape Day. It wasn't just for you that don't know TikTok and aren't on social media. It wasn't being put out there as a day of awareness. It was being put out there as a day to assault women and rape women. So when I say this many years out, I might have some resiliency about what happened to me, but I don't forget. And sometimes when I go to date or I have a conversation with somebody I'm interested in, I have to tell my story. Not the whole story, but I have to say I'm a victim of assault, because I don't want to be in the position again with somebody where they aren't gentle or kind or understanding. I mean, there are days where I still shut down and think about it. There are days where I'm still in my feelings about the situation. And first of all, it's not any, I'm not saying it's not any different from a stranger rape than it is from a someone you know rape. Rape is rape, period. Assault is assault, period. It's terrifying either way. I swear to you, in this moment, I did not know who this person was. I did not know who he was. He had never done this in 12 years. He had never acted this way. He had never hit me, never put hands on me, was never this enraged, didn't burn me before. Like, who was this person? So it doesn't make it any easier to deal with it being a stranger than it does with it being somebody that you know, family member, friend, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend. So just so you know, it doesn't make it any less traumatic on anybody. Everybody has their own time of working through stuff. So definitely when I try to get into new relationships or anything, is something or dating or talking or getting to know somebody, it's something I have to say. It's something that happened to me. There's moments I shut down and I'm quiet. There's moments I don't want to be intimate. It's something that's a constant in my head, even if I've processed it. And so going back to the fact that a few days ago was National Rape Day was disgusting to me, heartbreaking to me, that there's these people, a group of people on social media, pedophiles, creeps, criminals, what have you, out here bragging about on this day we are going to rape women, so stay in your house. I was mortified. Mortified. This should never happen to anybody. So you're constantly aware and presence of mind, especially when something like that comes up. Like, I haven't really thought too much about it, and then all of a sudden I see this National Rape Day and I'm like, man, what is wrong with people? Like, really, what is wrong with people? So anyways, I just wanted to talk a little bit about my experience in hopes that, you know, there's listeners out there that can relate, maybe have gone through it with a family member or a stranger, and just know that there's others like you out there. That you are not alone, and there is help. There is help. There is help for you out there. There's other women out there that need to hear your story. There's other women out there to talk to. There's support groups. There's family members. And there's friends that you can turn to and utilize that. Get all the help that you can get. So with that being said, I just want to wrap up this episode. And one more time, give out the phone number for the National Sexual Assault Hotline. It is 1-800-656-4673. And you can also reach out to Rain, and they're www.rainrainn.org. They have support and resources as well. So, until next time, you guys, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate y'all. Much love.
Find new episodes here each week. Make sure to subscribe, like, follow, and share. And remember, take care of you before anyone else. All love.
Love.
Thank you for tuning in. What a great episode.